For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. Every moment in between, there'll be joy and there'll be pain. I can't worry about the future or change a thing about my past. I've got this moment to believe, and I'm gonna make it last. I am filled to be emptied.
This is Pastor Michael Rogers from The Jar at 702 H Street Northeast in Ardmore, Oklahoma. Thank you for listening to our broadcast today.
This morning, we want to give you a sample of another broadcast that we do in Memphis, Tennessee, and in Omaha, Nebraska. It's called Filled with Questions, and it is directed toward people who are disciple makers and are receiving questions from not yet believers and not sure how to answer them. Filled with Questions will also be a podcast starting in early December, and we'll give you a chance to know the details about that whenever the time comes. But for right now, enjoy this little opportunity to see what else we do in our ministry.
Filled with Questions is sponsored by The Jar Ministries in Ardmore, Oklahoma, featuring pastors Michael and Carrie Rogers. The views expressed by the hosts are their own, but given through the lens of biblical study and analysis. Listeners are encouraged to faithfully examine the scripture to draw their own conclusions.
Welcome to Filled with Questions, where doubts are just questions that haven't been answered yet. I'm Pastor Michael Rogers.
And I'm Pastor Carrie Rogers.
And we are the lead pastors of The Jar Ministries in Ardmore, Oklahoma.
Our ministry is based on 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we hold these treasures in jars of clay to show that the surpassing glory is from God and not from us. We are the jars, filled by God with His Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, not so we can be good people, but so that we can empty ourselves for others. We believe the Great Commission calls each of us to be more than disciples. God wants us to be disciple makers.
Filled with Questions is a show that takes the questions of faith today and gives those who are already believers the knowledge and courage to answer questions asked by those who are not yet believers. Every week we pose a new question and answer it from God's Word. Okay, today we are going to handle a controversial topic, and we are 2 weeks away as this is being broadcast from the election. And the way we decided to operate in that is to ask the question, should Christians vote? And we know this is a controversial topic because we're going to touch on politics, and people say don't mix religion and politics. We'll talk about that later. But what we want to do today is to just look at it as, what does it mean for us to operate as citizens of an earthly kingdom when we are citizens of a heavenly kingdom? And so that's what we're going to talk about today.
That's right. And we also wanted to kind of address this topic too, because we are 2 weeks away by the time this is broadcast from the election. And I know there's a lot of unrest right now, and there's a lot of fear, and there's a lot of just uncertainty. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more too.
Yes.
But that's why we chose this topic today. And I'm going to start out by saying this. It is our leaning in our belief that it is our duty and responsibility as Christians, as believers, to vote and to vote for leaders who promote Christian principles.
Right.
And then also to remember that regardless of what side of the fence you're on, if the man you vote for here very soon is not the man or woman who wins, we are commanded by Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And it's not a suggestion.
No,
it's not advice.
No,
it is
not
a command by Paul that we are to pray for our leaders, regardless.
And I think, just starting off with that, you get a sense of where we believe the Bible leans, which is that regardless of who is in charge, our job is to be good citizens and to pray for our leaders, that they will begin to follow the will of God. I think of Nebuchadnezzar in the Old Testament, who was not a godly king, but God often worked with him and gave him opportunities to make God an important part of the kingdom of Babylon.
That's right. And so basically, in a nutshell, voting is an opportunity to promote, protect, and preserve godly government.
Absolutely.
But let's talk about what does the Bible actually say about government? And there's actually in the Bible that there's several terms that are used, but we're going to use ruler or government. The instruction pretty much is always the same, mm-hmm. and that is to obey. In Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 2, it says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established.
Well, wow, that's a mouthful right there.
It is. It is.
Because we think that the only time that God is involved is when a good leader is elected. Mm-hmm. And we need to recognize that there are times when God uses ungodly leaders. That's why I mentioned Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes. And then Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 14, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Many times, though, our government servants, they stray away from their purpose.
Oh, absolutely.
And can become oppressive. And we really see that a lot in other countries outside of the United States, mm-hmm. right? But both Jesus and Paul say that we are to continue to submit ourselves to those governing bodies.
Yeah.
However, the only time we don't do that is when they ask us to do something that goes against God's biblical teaching and his will.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people who are listening are like, oh, I was going to vote. But the question is, who do I vote for and what do I do if my guy or gal doesn't make it into office? But I think that we need to remember Jesus said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, when he was asked to pay taxes. That means that we have to honor the process of citizenship. So if we are in an absolutely evil regime where they are asking us to sacrifice our firstborns, or they are asking us to stop worshiping, or there are things that God would not approve of. And that's when we have to start thinking, okay, which comes first, my mm-hmm. citizenship in heaven or my citizenship on earth? Mm-hmm. But most of the time, that isn't the case. You can make a case that the taxes aren't fair, but you can't decide not to pay your taxes because you think God doesn't want you to pay taxes. Even Jesus paid taxes.
Well, and the reason why both Jesus and Paul bring that up or use that as an illustration is because the Roman government at the time was actually taxing the Jews unjustly.
Yes.
And many of the tax collectors of the time were thieves.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
That's why it was such a big deal when Matthew became a disciple.
Correct.
Was because he was a tax collector, yeah.
That's right. And so when they asked Jesus, how do you feel about that, right?
Right.
His response was, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. And that you can find that in Matthew chapter 22, verses 20 through 21. Even though we don't like it,
right,
and it doesn't feel good,
yes,
that is what we're instructed to do.
Right.
Now, let's go back to what we talked about, where when the government asks you to do something that is ungodly, unbiblical,
mm-hmm, right,
against our faith. And I think a great example of that, of course, is Daniel.
Oh, yes, yes.
So in the Old Testament, Daniel is a great model for us regarding this and our relationship with the government and our faith. So there's two places in Daniel that happens. The first one is in Daniel chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. So basically, Daniel had worked himself up in the ranks of the government,
yes,
which was an ungodly government,
yes,
at the
right
time. It was a pagan government. Despite this, Daniel he was able to position himself to the point where the rulers respected him.
Yes.
And they listened to him. But there came a point in Daniel chapter 3, while he's in his royal court, three of his friends refused to bow,
yes,
to an idol that the king commanded them to bow to as God.
Yes.
And when that happened, he sentenced them, that was King Nebuchadnezzar,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
to the fiery furnace, which
That's
a lot
right
of us have learned about when we were children.
That's right. That's right.
Daniel in the fiery furnace. Their response was confident faith.
Yes.
They refused to bow to the idol. And we know what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, God saved them.
There was a fourth man in the fire.
Yeah.
A fourth man in the fire.
One of my favorite worship songs in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we fast forward, and Daniel has become so important to the king that the other leaders are getting jealous, and now they don't want him to have the kind of influence that he had. So they set up where it is illegal for Daniel to pray to his God. I personally believe that Daniel, you notice, he's not in the three friends whenever there's a bowing down. I think that those three friends refused to bow down, and Daniel watched them do that and learned something about faith.
Mm-hmm.
And it prepared him for later. There was an opportunity where he was the target, and he had to decide what he was going to do. And what his three friends did inspired him then to say no and to continue to pray. He not only prayed, he prayed in front of an open window three times a day.
Mm-hmm.
So that if anyone wanted to see him, they could, because mm-hmm. he wanted them to know he was faithful. And God saved him from that as well. Mm-hmm. And that's the Daniel in the lion's den story.
That's right. I love Daniel's response. He goes to his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem.
Yes.
And he kneels down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, which was custom for him
since
he was a little child. He was completely loyal
to
any ruler placed over him until that ruler ordered him to disobey God.
That's right.
And then he kept his faith.
That's right.
And when he had a choice between the world and his God, he chose God.
Yes. So we're going to talk more about what that looks like for how we respond on the other side of the break.
If you enjoy the teaching of Build With Questions, check out Pastor Michael's series, Finding Hope, Faith for the Frustrated. The first volume, Rethink, explores what those of us frustrated with today's church must do to become part of the solution. Volume 2, Follow, explores the gospel of Jesus Christ from the perspective of a disciple during the life of Jesus. Rethink and Follow are published by Words Matter Publishing and can be found at wordsmatterpublishing.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For information, visit his website, michaelsrogers.com. That's michaelsrogers.com.
All right, so if there is anything that will spark a debate right now in an outright argument sometimes,
yes.
It is the discussion surrounding politics and voting, which is coming up very soon, and especially among believers.
Yes.
As followers of Christ, our attitude should be one that is focused solely on our Christian faith,
mm-hmm.
not on parties.
Yes.
And I know there are going to be some people who disagree with that,
yes.
that are listening, but really it comes down to the person that you are voting for and what our Christian faith says, right?
Yes. Well, and the policies. So it is the person, but it's also the policies that they have. And you have to take the whole thing into account.
That's right. The real question is, can we have political views outside of our Christian faith? And the answer is no. We cannot.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because there's a lot of accusation out there about what's called Christian nationalism. And that's when we tie our Christian faith to one party or the other. And I believe that there are Christian nationalists on both sides. There are Christians who believe that in order to be Christian, you must be Republican. And there are Christians who believe that in order to be Christian, you must be Democrat. I've seen bumper stickers on cars that said things like, Jesus was a liberal, or Jesus was a conservative. I have news for both of you. Jesus was the most apolitical person to ever grace the planet. He was for the kingdom, not for a political party.
Yes, his whole message was heavenly perspective.
Yes.
Not earthly perspective.
Yes.
And so to tie our heavenly perspective to our earthly perspective goes against what he taught the entire time he was here. And I just want you to consider that when you go back into the scriptures and you're asking these questions, think of it from a heavenly perspective, because that's where Jesus came from.
Yeah.
The other thing is there's two truths that I want to say about this. The first truth is that God's will is always going to supersede every aspect of our life.
Yes.
And that includes politics and government.
Absolutely.
Right? It includes government and who is in charge. God's plan and purpose is fixed. He knows what he wants. He knows he's what's going to come to pass. And that's really important. And to remember that he is the Most High. He is sovereign over every kingdom of man, no matter what that kingdom is.
Yes. So God doesn't wake up the day after Election Day and go, oh my goodness, I didn't know Biden was going to win. Or, oh my goodness, I didn't know Trump was going to win. Or, oh my goodness, I didn't know Harris was going to win. He knows exactly what's going on. And he is guiding and designing. We get the ruler that he believes will draw us closest to him. I wish it was the case that I could say he is all about making sure that the person who is most godly wins an election. But let's be honest, we've even had people we thought were godly that won elections that we found out had some flaws. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter which person it is, but we can look at that person's character and that person's politics and that person's policies and say, which one do I feel most comfortable voting for? Who do I think would bring the people closer to God's will?
Mm-hmm. And always remember, if it's God's will today, it's God's will tomorrow.
Yes.
He is going to accomplish his will.
Yeah.
And also to remember Romans 8:28.
Yes.
All things together for the good of those who love him and who've been called according to his purpose. And so that once again goes back to the Timothy passage where we are to pray for our leaders, that God's will be done, even if they are not believers themselves.
At the same time, it says in 2 Peter 1 that we are partners. It says we partake in the divine nature. We become partakers in the divine nature. And the way I interpret that is we are supposed to come alongside with God and affect the mission of God. And so our vote helps us to affect the mission of God.
That's right.
But that doesn't mean that if we vote and we feel like the wrong person gets in there, that God was asleep at the wheel.
That's right.
God is giving us exactly what we need in the time that we're in, and we can't affect his will so much that we all of a sudden cause the wrong leader to get in charge.
And Daniel, once again, is a great example of that because it basically what Daniel teaches us is that God will bring to pass what's going to happen, and no government can thwart his will.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking about this when we were talking earlier. Jeremiah is the prophet that prophesies to the Israelites before they go to Babylon. And he writes them a letter and he says, you're going to be there 70 years. And when you're there, I want you to live as if you're citizens of that country. Mm-hmm. There's a time when God's going to bring you back, but I want you to go and build houses and plant vineyards and collect. So God was not surprised by that. As a matter of fact, he instituted that so that it would draw the people back. Then you have Esther. And if Esther's not in that situation where she can be part of the royal court, she can't save the Israelites from Haman. Mm-hmm. Then after that, you have Nebuchadnezzar, who suddenly begins to create at different times in his history, times of worship of Yahweh from all of the people, because God just keeps showing him. Mm-hmm. And then if you read through the rest of Daniel, God is constantly showing the Babylonians who he is.
That's right.
But the people's job is to be faithful through it all.
That's right. That's right. Now, the second truth, and this is what we want to end with.
Yes.
The second truth that we must grasp is the fact that our government cannot save us.
Yes.
Only God can.
Yes.
Right? And so that's so important for us to remember. One of Satan's grandest deceptions is that we can rest our hope in cultural morality.
Oh, that's good.
And living a good life. And that we can also rest our hope in politicians and government officials. And I come against that.
Yeah.
Our nation's hope is not found in our government.
Right.
Our nation's hope is found in our sovereign and almighty God. And we have to stay focused on that no matter who's in charge.
Yeah. And I want to bring that all the way down. So the reason we're talking about this is because of the media attention to the president of the United States and the vote that's coming up in a couple of weeks. But you also have governors, senators, representatives, mayors, city council, school boards, And this applies to all of them, not just the one we're mentioning right now. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have the right people in the school board, because you believe they are doing things in education that go away from God's will, then you get involved in that process. But recognize whoever is on that school board right now, God is not surprised by them being there. Mm-hmm. But he may be asking you to do something about it. If we go back to that 1 Peter passage, you read this part before, but I'm gonna take it to the next sentence. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Mm-hmm. Live as free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor.
Yes. We have a unique God-given purpose mm-hmm. as believers, and our mission is not to change the nation through political reform.
Right.
But to change the hearts
yes.
of men and women through the Word of God. And when that happens, if their hearts are changed, then their policies and their politics will change.
Amen.
And in the meantime, while we are waiting for God through His Holy Spirit to work on those leaders, we do what Paul tells us in Timothy, and we pray for them
yes.
every day that God will speak to them, change their hearts, and do what is right.
Yes. When society gives us a morality that lines up with God's will, we do everything we can to follow it. And when society gives us something that is against God's will, we do everything we can to fight it. And whether we're living free or we're jailed because of our faith, we are representing the will of God.
If you are enjoying this teaching, tune in to Pastor Michael's television channel, Filled to Empty, broadcast on Roku TV, Amazon Fire, and YouTube. In each episode, we explore a tension we face as disciple makers, allow ourselves to be filled with God's Word, and ask how we can be emptied for others. Find out more information on the website, filledtoempty.tv. That's filledtoempty.tv.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We encourage you to send new and follow-up questions to us at our email address, questions@thejarministries.net. That's ministries with an S. questions@thejarministries.net. We'll do our best to answer them and, when appropriate, share those answers on a future episode. And once again, thank you for listening to Filled with Questions, sponsored by the Jar Ministries in Ardmore, Oklahoma, featuring Pastors Michael and Carrie Rogers.